Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Heartland Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in economics and business. Autumn semester 2009, this is Principles of Microeconomics, Econ 101, Section 4. Lecture 8, delivered on September 15, 2009. The title of this lecture is Marginal Utility and Consumer Choice Equilibrium.
Today, marginal utility and consumer choice equilibrium. Marginal utility and consumer choice equilibrium. This begins with a story, but we're going to operationalize the story. You, sir, I would like you to roll up your pant leg all the way, please. No, you don't really have to. We're speculative here. I don't want to see your hairy legs. I'm going to attach a joy meter to your leg, indeed to your upper thigh. So we're going to attach this joy meter to this man's thigh. Dude, you need to wax, really. This will pull some hairs here. I'll get you started with that wax job. Now, I've attached this joy meter to you. And what this joy meter does is tell me, digitally, it's a digital, it's modern, how much total joy this man has experienced. What has this man experienced in terms of the total joy? And we're going to provide a source of joy to this man. Yes, we're going to feed him cheeseburgers. So we're going to feed this man cheeseburgers, CBs, as we call them in the business. And then we are going to look at the meter and we are going to record the total joy that he feels as we feed more cheeseburgers to him. Well, when we begin, we have obviously given him no cheeseburgers, so there is no joy in his life. No sunshine, no happiness. So the total joy meter is reading zero with zero cheeseburgers. And now we're going to start to feed him cheeseburgers. We give him his first cheeseburger, and sure enough, the joy meter jumps to 100. We now record that, and we move on to two cheeseburgers. We hand him another cheeseburger, and the meter moves up to 190. He is now at a total joy of 190. Clearly, his joy is increasing as we give him more cheeseburgers. We feed him a third cheeseburger, and his joy rises once again. This time, now the total joy on the meter is reading at 270. We pack another cheeseburger into his pie hole, into his cheeseburger hole. And we find now that the meter is reading 340. We feed him yet another cheeseburger, the five cheeseburgers, and we now have a total joy of 400. We feed him a sixth cheeseburger, and his joy meter now reads total joy of 450. We feed him a seventh, and he is now at 490 on the total joy. The eighth cheeseburger we feed him. It's getting rough here. We are now at 520. We feed him nine cheeseburgers, and we see that we are now at 540. 10 cheeseburgers, we are at 550, and this is where he begins to look pretty bad. So we stop. We cannot be inhumane in our experimentation, even in the cause of economics. Now, of course, in economics, we would never use the word joy. Joy is the last thing about economics, you would associate with economics. In economics, we would use the word utility. But it's satisfaction, joy, pleasure, happiness. And clearly, this is an example of that principle I told you about the first day. More is preferred to less. You get more of anything, you will enjoy it more. You will have your total satisfaction will go up. More of life, more of food, more of sex, more of toilet paper, more of everything, more of TV, more of movies. But something is hiding behind here, another principle of economics, finance, all the different fields. In fact, this is the principle that pervades the universe. I'm going to look at something called marginal, which will come to be a word that we use a lot in this class. Marginal actually comes from the fact that we write these numbers in the margin. It's marginalia. And when we say marginal, we mean the last, the next, the extra. And here I'm going to look at marginal joy. Or as economists would call it, marginal utility. How much did the last give us? Not what the overall was. What did the last unit provide us? In this case, if I look at marginal utility here, well, the first cheeseburger gave me an extra 100 units of, well, gave him an extra 100 units of satisfaction. The second cheeseburger, not two cheeseburgers, the second added an extra 90 units of utility. Marginal utility of the second unit was 90. Marginal utility of the second unit was 90. The marginal utility of the third was 80. The marginal utility of the fourth was 70. The marginal utility of the fifth was 60. The marginal utility of the sixth was 50. And if we work down the line, 40 at 8, we had 30. The ninth one gave us gave him 20, and the tenth gave him 10 units of extra satisfaction. Extra satisfaction. This is the second principle here. The law of diminishing marginal utility. As you consume more, the last gives you less and less extra pleasure. As you consume more, the last gives you extra, less and less extra utility. That's the law of diminishing marginal utility. It takes hold and it will happen. You know very well that by the 10th cheeseburger, you would not have wanted any more. Not because you didn't like cheeseburgers, but you'd had enough. After you have had your 10th Pop-Tart, they're good, but 10? No. Here's one. You ever been to with a woman too many times in one night?
No.
You haven't. Let me tell you. One, yeah. Three, okay. 12, damn. Go away. Go buy a pizza. Bring it back. Leave me alone. See, that's how it works. Yeah, it's great, but after 12, I mean, geez, zooey, golly, Ned's, you know. See, there's the law of diminishing marginal utility. Movies are great, but after you've seen the 10th one in a day, I knew people who used to do these marathons, Star Wars marathon. My God, they can't. Oh God, I'm sick, man. See, amusement rides. You 5 minutes on a ride is great. You get to about 20 minutes on the same ride, you're hurling. 40 minutes, you're dead. I told you about the Tower of Terror. You ever been on the Tower of Terror? You ever seen the tower? Have any of you ever been on the Tower of Terror?
Is that in Chicago?
No, that's the one in Florida at the Disney.
Oh.
They take you clear up to the top in a dark cave. You don't see anything until all of a sudden you're at the top. And then they open these doors. You know what you see? Curvature of the earth. And then they let go and you drop. And they keep opening doors all the way down. All the way. You know, every time a door opened, I saw dead relatives. By the time I was getting near the bottom, I saw Jesus. I mean, you know, the ultimate insult, you get off there, you're trying to put your diaper back on, and they got a picture of you on the way down. You have to look at as you're going out. You see, there are some things, yeah, it's fun for a few minutes, but after a few minutes, it gets old real fast. So this is that law of diminishing marginal utility. Everything is great for a while, but it gets less and less great the more and more and more you do of it. Okay? If any of you are smokers, that first cigarette in the morning, yeah. The 50th cigarette of the day, God, I got to quit these things. Booze. You ever had your first beer? Damn good. By the time you got that 20th beer in you, you're barfing foam out your nose. No longer fun. You see, that's the whole thing. It's fun at the beginning, and the fun goes down. Your total fun's going up. The next day, after you get over the hangover and after you clean yourself up and you don't smell like stuff anymore, you're going to say, well, I had a lot of fun last night. Yeah, but the last beer you had wasn't much fun, was it, Sparky? You hosed down your girlfriend with your beer barf. Fool. Okay, so that's marginal utility. You see, this idea that, notice something interesting about marginal utility, what it tells us. If you want to have more satisfaction with the last thing you do, have less. That seems kind of odd. If you want to have less satisfaction with the last you have more. If you want to take greater pleasure in your last glass of water, drink less water. If you want to have less satisfaction with your last glass of water, with the last one you drink, drink more. If you want to have more pleasure with the last cigarette you have, smoke one. If you want to have less pleasure with the last one you have, smoke your 100th for the day. Okay? That's how it works. It's the weirdest thing. You've got to keep this in mind when I show you consumer equilibrium. Because I give you a problem with this, and I'll have you, matter of fact, for the weekend, I'll be giving you a take-home quiz that will be online. That where I'll have you actually tell me, what should a consumer do in this case? You got to, in consumer equilibrium analysis, we know very well that people aren't calculating marginal utility. Well, the marginal utility of doing this is you're not going to calculate, well, my 10th cheeseburger gave me 10 marginal units of utility. You're not going to say, well, the 12th time with my girlfriend and I gave me, you're not going to do that. But in our minds, we are still making a calculation at all times, a visceral, emotional calculation that has the effect of the mathematical thing that I'm going to show you here. So if you're looking at two products, you've got a certain amount of money. You can spend it exhausted across two products, or as many as you want. We use two to show the example. And they're out of balance in a way. What would a person do to put them into balance? The person would have to move the satisfaction of the last unit of each so that they were about the same. And we'll talk about that. But how would we make one product have more satisfaction with the last we use of it? We'd use less of it. How would we make a product have more less satisfaction with the last unit we use of it? Well, we'd probably want to consume more of it. So if I was in a world where I was talking about cheeseburgers and cups of soda, and the analysis, there's one more step that I'm not doing right here. And I'm not looking at income, but I'm saying, suppose that with the money you've got in your pocket, if I bought three cheeseburgers and two cups of soda. Now, suppose that my third cheeseburger had a marginal utility of, let's say, 80. And my second cup of pop, my second cup of soda, had a marginal utility of 140. The second cup of soda was giving me 140 units of pleasure. My third cheeseburger was giving me 80 units of pleasure. It would be logical, these are out of balance. I'm getting more pleasure out of my second cup of soda than I am out of my third cheeseburger. So what would I do to make them so that they were more giving me the same amount of satisfaction? Well, I know that if I move to two cheeseburgers, this number, I don't know what it would do exactly. I don't know what the number would be, I'm sorry. But I do know that it would be more than 80. Because the second would give me more satisfaction at the margin than the third would. Okay, I gave up a cheeseburger, so that means that I would have more money for pop. I don't know what the third cup of soda would give me as extra satisfaction, but I know that it would be less than 140 units because the marginal utility is falling. So I do know that there would be a tendency in this example. If a person tried three cheeseburgers and two cups of soda, there would be an imbalance in the satisfaction that was given at the end of the day for these two products together. It would be logical for this person to back off the cheeseburgers because I know whatever it is that the second cheeseburger gives me, the second cheeseburger gives me more satisfaction than the third cheeseburger did. And I also know that the third cup of soda would give me less satisfaction than the second cup of soda did. So there would be a tendency of a consumer to move, to give up a cheeseburger to buy another cup of soda, because that would make it so that the last of each of them was probably closer together. They were coming more closely aligned with each other. Now, I haven't included one crucial thing here. Well, I haven't included income. We'd have to be able to afford both of these combinations. But I haven't included another important feature, which would be the prices of each of them, because that's going to affect our decision too. Ultimately, it won't be just pure marginal utilities, relative marginal utilities that drive us. We have to look at the bang for the buck. In other words, we'd have to look at the marginal utility per dollar that's being delivered by each of them. And we'll get to that in just a moment here. But the basic idea here is that we are going to work on the assumption that people are going to buy combinations of products so that they roughly make equality among marginal utilities. How much extra satisfaction? Look, if you were to get two glasses of beer and you had three steaks. Okay. Last steak, last time you tried this, that third steak, I mean, it wasn't giving you much of anything. I mean, you were full, you were miserable. But boy, that second cup of beer was really good. That second one, man, I could have used another one of those. Wouldn't it seem reasonable that the next time you ordered, you'd lay off the steak and maybe use some of that money to buy another beer? That's the logic that we're working on here. It's like a common sense. And like I said, people don't do an equation in their heads, but they use common sense. Man, that third steak made me vomit my guts out. So maybe I shouldn't get three steaks. Maybe I should get two. And then on the other hand, well, geez, that last beer was darn good. That second one, I should have spent that money from that steak on a beer. Because that last one, you're tending to move towards an equilibrium, where things are more in a balance. You've got, as we say, feng shui among your choices. Okay, now here is how it actually, the consumer equilibrium works. When you are consuming goods X and Y, way that the equilibrium will work is that it won't be the marginal utilities that we will equalize. It would be the marginal utility of X divided by its price will be the equal to the marginal utility of Y divided by its price. In other words, what we're going to do is we're going to adjust each so that we're talking about a per dollar basis. Now let me show you what I mean by that. Let me take these off the board. I'm going to do a little tiny part of tables of a couple of products. Okay? I'm going to say, let's talk about the number of cars on one, and then we're going to talk about the number of pairs of underwear on the other. Okay? Now, in both cases, we're going to talk about the total utility and then look at the marginal utility. Now, when you have no cars, you have no joy. Okay? So now let's go to one car. You have one car. Now, your first car, having a car really is great. You don't have to walk. You don't have to do all those tiresome things that are involved in walking or getting a bus. So one car is going to give you a total utility of 20,000 units. So your marginal utility of your first car, the extra utility of your first car, is 20,000. Now, once you have one car, having a second car really isn't going to do a whole lot. Yeah, there's more fun. So when you have two cars, your marginal utility, let's say, goes up to 24,000. So the marginal utility of the second car is only 4,000. Okay, well, now, obviously the total joy is enormous with having a car. Big, big rush. Now, let me try. Do you get excited when you go buy underwear?
Yes.
Dude, I don't. I mean, I'm just kind of embarrassed, you know. Especially when the damn checkout lady says, "Oh, these are a good price. Did you see these, Narda? Put those down, you know. Oh, you wear string? How not? No. You see, really, now, realistically, you don't get a big rush. I mean, you're like, I scored underwear, bikini style. No, you don't. But if you don't have any underwear, you're really sad. At least you should be, guys. And when you buy one pair of underwear, your total utility goes up. You're happy. Yeah, it's giving you 100 units of utility. So your marginal utility is 100. You buy two pairs of underwear. Well, that's great. You have 2 days between washes. So you go up to 190. So your margin is 90. You go to three pairs of underwear, you're still cruising to 270, so your marginal utility is 80. Okay, let me stop here, okay? Now notice, obviously, underwear does not give you as much of a rush as a car does. Not in total, not in marginal. You don't get as much of a boom out of going and buying Hanes as you would out of going and buying a Ferrari. Damn it. Now, let us say, though, that the car that you want to buy, the price of the car that you want to buy, the price of X, this will be good X, the cars will be, the price of a car is $4,000. You're buying a heap. You're buying a junker. Okay? Let's not get overboard. Okay? But let's say that the price of underwear, The price of underwear is
$4.
And this is good Y, the underwear. Okay. Ah, well, that kind of changes it, because now if we look at the numbers again, and if I look at marginal utility of X divided by how much I have to pay for it, on a dollar basis, that first car would be 20,000 units of extra pleasure divided by $4,000. So I'm getting only 4 units per dollar of pleasure at the margin. The first car is giving me only four units of pleasure per dollar. Say that again. I'm just testing your ass. It's 5. That's good. I wanted you to see that. That's good. I was just testing to see if I so suck at math. I've taught math for 30 years. I have screwed up so many people. What the hell am I? Okay, and then my second car, well, it gave me 24,000. I had 24,000 with 2 cars. My second car gave me 4,000 units of that. But if it cost me $4,000 to get those 4,000 units of extra pleasure, that car really delivered to me only, that second car delivered only 1 unit of pleasure per dollar. 1 unit of pleasure per dollar. Now let's go over here and look at my underwear. No, let's not look at my underwear. Stop it. Okay, it's $4. Okay. So if I were to look at the marginal utility of underwear divided by the price of underwear, in other words, adjust it so it's per dollar of, in other words, I'm looking at the bang per buck. My first pair of underwear gave me a bang per buck of 100 divided by 4, or 25 units of pleasure per dollar. Notice that my first pair of underwear actually gave me, on a dollar-for-dollar basis, more joy than the daggone first car did. In fact, my second one would be what? 90 divided by 4 would be 22.5 units of pleasure per dollar. My third pair of underwear is still cruising at 20 units of extra pleasure per dollar. The third pair of underwear I buy. Look at that. Once we take into account the fact that money is involved, whatever, I mean, that car doesn't look nearly as attractive. Yes, you get a huge rush out of it, but on a dollar per dollar basis, you're actually getting a bigger rush out of your third pair of underwear, out of your fourth pair of underwear, out of your probably, interestingly enough. In fact, interestingly enough, if I gave you a choice between a second car for $4,000 and a third pair of underwear, if I gave you that choice straight up without thinking about income involved and all that, you take the third pair of underwear, because you're actually going to get more pleasure out of that underwear than you are on a dollar per dollar basis than out of the second car. You really will. You honestly will. Now, here's what that means. Some products, they have very smooth drops in the amount of pleasure. You really don't notice. This is very true of things like cigarettes. You don't notice that the second cigarette gives you much less pleasure than the first. You do notice it by the time you've had your 50th cigarette for the you actually don't notice your second mixed drink is giving you much less pleasure. You notice it only after you've had like about 5 margaritas. Then it's like, brain freeze, my head's spinning, bad stuff. But at the same time, you shouldn't know about those, really. I'm talking to people who've never drunk before because you're underage. But some older geezers not included in that. But you see, Here's the thing, though. Think about this. Other things have actually very steep drop-offs from 1 to 2, from 3 to 4, from 5 to 6. So sometimes you'll see people buy a lot of one thing, but buy very little of another thing just because there's such a steep drop-off in the pleasure, the extra pleasure from a second thing. Let's try this. How many pairs of glasses do you own?
Two.
Two. Okay. Now, why not three?
Two's all I need.
Four. You ever gone to one of those shoe places where they got buy the second pair of shoes half off? They're trying to thwart that effect because how many shoes do you need? Really? I got some of the women think, yeah, like 20, 30. Come on, get real, boy. I actually asked in the class yesterday. I was expecting the guy to say, oh, I got two pairs of shoes. I said, how many pairs of shoes? He said, oh, maybe about 20 pair. What? So that example. Okay, let's try this one. You go completely deaf. You're completely deaf. Which you probably would like to be in an economics class. But you're completely deaf. Now, I've got this deal for you. A pair of hearing aids for $1,000. Well, I mean, just so you can hear again. It would be wonderful to hear again. You would probably pay $1,000. But would you pay $1,000 for a second pair? No, you would not. Because you can only hear twice, you would not pay much at all for a second pair. Now you would pay something, as a possibility of losing one your first set, but you would certainly not pay a huge amount of money for a second pair. You would not pay nearly as much for the second pair. That's the theory behind a lot of these stores where you get, buy your first cookie, get the second cookie half off kind of thing. Because they know very well that very few people would buy the second cookie at the full price because the marginal utility of the second cookie is lower, sufficiently lower, that if they don't lower the price a lot, then the marginal utility divided by the price goes too far down. So that's why they will drop the price to keep that balance there. See, the balance is not the marginal utilities, the extra pleasure. It's the extra pleasure per dollar. So given that a second cookie will have a lower marginal utility than a first cookie, they are going to need to drop the price of the second cookie to keep the ratio mu sub y over p sub y from falling too much and moving your choice to something else that might be near the cookie store. That's the whole idea of these discounts on the second. Buy one, get the second free. You see bookstores, I get these coupons from Borders all the time. Buy one book, get half off the second. They got one that was buy four anime books and get the fifth anime book free. That's really a deal for me. I was really interested in that, like hell. But, these are the things that you do to try to get induced, to try to thwart the marginal utility effect by making the price lower as you get more, buy more and more. That's why they give you discounts as you buy more, volume discounts. It has nothing to do with, well, the volume discount is because the packaging is cheaper. Bullshit. That's the biggest lie of all. Not really. Packaging isn't that much cheaper for a larger package. They're trying to get you to buy more by offering you a lower price for more on a per unit basis. That's what they're trying to do, is to get you to keep consuming even as your marginal utility falls. That's why they're doing it. That story that, well, lower prices on larger packages, that's volume because we're saving on packaging. No, it's not. The packaging is very, very minimal as a part of the price of the product. They're just trying to get you to overconsume. That's all there is to it. That's the plain and simple fact of the matter. So now, let me operationalize this. I'm going to give you a little bit of an example. Now, this one, again, I avoid doing the income because following a budget constraint on the fly is a real pain in the butt. But let's look at this one, okay? Each cup of coffee costs $1.50. Each pancake costs $2.50. Now, let's say that one day you go and you order and you end up buying 3 cups of coffee. Last week, you got 3 cups of coffee and 4 pancakes. Your third cup of coffee gave you 60 units of extra pleasure. Notice when I said extra, I'm telling you the marginal utility. Make sure you see that. When I said extra, I'm giving you the marginal utility. Okay. Now, sometimes you can say, well, the second cup of coffee gave you a total utility of 80 units. The third cup of coffee gave you a total utility of 140 units. That would be the same as saying that the third was 60 marginal units of utility. Okay, but here I just give it to you, extra. If you see me say extra or marginal or additional, I'm giving you the marginal utility. Okay, now, and your fourth pancake gave you 100 units of extra pleasure. Okay. Just get that written down here. Now, the question that I'm going to pose here is, what will you probably do this week when you go back to Denny's and you order your favorite again, which is coffee and pancakes? What will you do this week when you go back and you order your coffee and pancakes? Well, let's look at what happened in this case. Okay, I'm going to put the X and the marginal utility of X, and then I'm going to put the marginal utility of X over the price of X. Now, notice how I do this. You can do it differently, but I kind of do them like mirror reflections of each other. And I do Y and the marginal utility of Y, and then I do the marginal utility of Y over the price of Y, like a mirror image, so that they're the important thing, the marginal utilities divided by the price, are up against each other. It's just my way of doing it, so I can see them. Otherwise, I might be looking at the wrong column here. Okay, so let me do the X here. Now, really, there's not much to do with the X here at all. It's just that, okay, at my third cup of coffee, my marginal utility of the third cup of coffee was 60. Now, the price of coffee was what? What was it I said? $1.50? So I would, in this case, then do the marginal utility of X over the price of X would be 60 over $1.50. So on a per dollar basis, what the hell would that be? Yeah, I can do that. 40. Yeah, I knew that, actually. I did. So in other words, that third cup of coffee gave me 40 units of pleasure per dollar. 40 units of pleasure per buck. Okay, now let me do it on the other side here. And I was at Y, my pancakes are Y. I had 4 pancakes. The fourth, now again, this is the fourth pancake. I don't know about total four. All I know is that the fourth pancake delivered to me, what was it, 100 units. So I know that the price of pancakes is $2.50 a piece. Okay, so I would say that in this case, I'd have 100 over $2.50. $40 units per dollar. So in this case, I'll order the same thing next week. Because on a dollar per dollar basis, I'm getting exactly the same amount of pleasure from both of the from each of these products. Per dollar, I'm getting 40 units of pleasure from the coffee, three from my third cup of coffee. Per dollar, I'm getting 40 units of extra pleasure from the fourth pancake per dollar. So I am right at my sweet spot. I'll order the same breakfast next week. I've found where I want to be. Now let me take you around and let me do the second piece with you. Let's say now that we are going to talk about dinner. You can order steak by the ounce. Each ounce of steak costs $4. Each glass of wine costs $5. You have an 8-ounce steak and 3 glasses of wine. Your 8th ounce, that last ounce of steak that you eat, gives you 400 units of extra pleasure. Your 3rd glass of wine gives you 600 extra units of pleasure. Now the question is, what will you do the next time you order steak and wine? And we're going to do the same exercise we did here, where I'm going to do the marginal utilities and then the marginal utilities per ounce or per dollar. Okay? In this case, the price of each ounce of steak is $4. The price of each glass of wine is $5. Now let's rock and roll, see what happens, and then see what we have to do. Okay, so now in this case, I've got an 8-ounce steak. I don't know how much total satisfaction 8 ounces of steak gave me, but I know that the 8th ounce, that last ounce marginal, at the margin, at the last, it provided me with 400 units of happiness, pleasure, satisfaction. So on a dollar basis, per dollar, I've bought 400 extra units of pleasure for $4, which means that I actually paid per dollar, I got 100 units of pleasure per buck. Again, I paid $4 for 400 units of satisfaction. Notice that if I had bought a ninth, it would have been somewhere less than 400 units of satisfaction. So I would have paid, I would have gotten less per dollar. But we'll get to that in a second here. Okay, so now my third glass of wine brought me 600 units of extra pleasure. So now I'm going to say, okay, well, that's fine. So now on a dollar basis, I got those 600 extra units from that third glass by paying $5. So on a dollar per dollar basis, I take 600 divided by $5 and I get 120. That means that per dollar I got 120 units of satisfaction. I got 120 units of satisfaction per dollar. Okay, now if we look here, is that right? What did I do wrong? It's okay. Now, the question is, what do I do next week here? I am not in equilibrium. I got on a dollar for dollar basis, I got more pleasure out of the wine than out of my third glass of wine than I did out of my eighth ounce of steak. I got more pleasure per dollar out of my third glass of wine than I got out of my eighth ounce of steak. Now here's the part that is really, this is, and I did want to say this at the beginning. This is, I think if there were any subject I would say it's the hardest thing to get right in microeconomics, it is this. Everything else is actually not that bad conceptually compared to how to answer this question. What should I do here? I'm going to have to do a trade-off here. I'm going to have to give up one to get more of the other. Which one should I give up so that I can get more of the other? What say you? What do you say?
You have the steak.
Bingo. Because if I give up the steak, what will happen? What do you know about the marginal utility of the seventh ounce of steak?
It's going to give you more satisfaction.
Bingo. It's higher. The marginal utility. I don't know what it is, but I know that it's more than 400. The seventh ounce of steak, I don't know what it is, but I know that it's more than 400. So if that had been a 7 there instead of an 8, the marginal utility number would have been a bigger number than 400. So when I divided it by $4 per ounce, I would have gotten a bigger number there. At the same time, I know for a fact that if I buy another glass of wine, I don't know what the fourth glass of wine is going to give me in extra satisfaction, but I do know that it's a number smaller than 600. Because the third glass gave me 600 units of extra pleasure. So the fourth glass has to give me less. Maybe a lot less, maybe a little less, but it will give me less by the law of diminishing marginal utility. It will give me a smaller number. So if I put a 4 here instead of a 3, the marginal utility will be a number lower than 600. So I'll have something smaller than 600 dividing by 5. So that will be a number, the marginal utility of Y divided by the price of Y will be lower than 120. So as I back off my stake, this number will be 100 bigger. I don't know how much bigger, but I do know that it will be bigger. As I buy more wine, I don't know what the marginal utility of it is. I don't even know the total utility, so how can I know the marginal? But I do know that that fourth glass of wine is not going to give me as much satisfaction as the 600, as the third. So I know that the fourth glass of wine is below 600. It's 600 minus something. I know that. So I know that at the end of the day, I'll be dividing something less than 600 by 5. So I know that 600, whatever that number is, divided by 5, will definitely be less than it was when I took 600 divided by 5. So I know that the next time I order, I'm going to back off steak and use the money to buy wine. Yeah.
Just curious, since the steak is $4 and the wine is $5,
yes,
you were saying a budget.
I know. There is a little bit of a mismatch there. You have to look at the income constraint. You will be jumping in clumps. Yeah, you'd have to back off more than 1 ounce of steak and to get another glass of wine. There's no question about that. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So could that keep somebody at like a
120? It actually, what will happen is when you have it, in a case like this where you would actually be trapped in a budget, and this is what we actually see in real experimental, in the real life, I shouldn't say experimental, in real life, is that you might 1 week do it this balance, and then the next week do it this balance. Neither of them is exactly in equilibrium. So you'll see people bounce back and forth. You know, oh, that this week I got too much pleasure out of this and not enough out of this, so next week I do it this way. Oh, I got, now it's the opposite. And you'll see people actually in sort of a dynamic equilibrium, especially when it comes to things that are very clumpy in your budget. You'll buy a little more 1 week, a little less the next week, a little more 1 week, a little less next week. Now, some things we see consumers, they stay at the same purchase levels all the time. But with other things, we do see that they tend to ebb and flow as if they are probing back and forth and there is never a perfect place. So they're always 1 week having too much of one thing and not enough of another. And then another week they're having too much of the one thing and not enough of the first thing. It's just the way it is. You're absolutely right, though. You will see what we call a dynamic equilibrium where it never settles, but people are always experimenting back and forth. A little more of this, a little less of that kind of thing. And there are great examples. There are all kinds of examples of that. You probably can think of even a few in your own life where some weeks you get more of one thing, you don't buy as much of another, and then the next week you'll go and do it the opposite way. It just happens that way with some products. If you understand what I did there, you're going to have no problem with this little take-home quiz that I'll give you this weekend. And this is what I would do on an exam, is I'd give you a scenario like this, and I'll just say, what is this person going to be likely to do in the next round? In the next round, you say, oh, well, I see that this person, on a dollar-for-dollar basis, got more pleasure out of wine than out of steak, so this person's probably going to back off steak because that'll make what steak he gets more enjoyable. And he'll use the money to buy more wine, which will make the last glass of wine a little less enjoyable. Maybe move him a little bit more towards a logical place. Okay, that's what this is all about. If you understand what I've done here, and I do understand there's a kind of a difficulty in seeing, oh, to increase you back off, to decrease you go forward. But that's, like I said, that's what makes this kind of the hardest subject conceptually in microeconomics. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.